In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. And the passage from this morning is from Luke chapter 14. And we hear the words of the Lord when he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, his own life also, cannot be my disciple." Tawan, when we read this verse, it's a little bit difficult to understand. Because we think about, okay, Christ who told us to love our neighbor and to honor our parents, now he's calling us to hate them. The Lord Jesus, and when he teaches, he often uses hyperbole, which is basically like exaggerated statements that aren't meant to be taken literally, but they have a profound teaching. Like when he says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's hyperbole. It doesn't mean it like literally, like, and if your eye causes you to sin, to pluck it out. But he's just saying that sometimes to get rid of sin, we have to take drastic measures. So the Lord, when he's saying here to hate your father and your mother and your wife and children, again, it's hyperbole. He doesn't mean it literally. But rather, he's asking us to prioritize our loyalty to him over even our family. So when it comes to whom am I loyal to, it's to him first and foremost. He's my primary relationship. Our love for God must surpass even the deepest love that we have for our family and our friends. While our parents are our first love, there are also those whom we first honor. A child first learns to love with his parents, and a child also learns to first honor others by honoring his parents. In St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, "Render therefore all their due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." I'd like to speak this morning, and maybe the next week as well, about rendering all their due honor. And we'll speak about what it means to honor another. We'll speak about to whom should we render this honor, and the value of honor. And perhaps next week we'll speak about the personal and communal impacts of dishonor, and how is it that we can honor one another. Perhaps the most important, famous verse about honor is honor your father and mother, because it comes from the Ten Commandments. According to the Jewish text, honor here is something that means more to be heavy or weighty. And when you honor somebody, sometimes in Arabic say, you know, he's like big and heavy. He's very important, right? In English, it comes from the Latin root of honor, which is more of respect, esteem, and to show dignity. And in the Greek, which is timi, which conveys the idea of worth and value, where you find this throughout the New Testament. So we could just sum and say that to honor somebody is to esteem them highly. To let them be something heavy and great in front of you. This is what it means to honor someone. So then the question, of course, begs, then who is it that we ought to honor? Who is it that we should highly esteem? Of course, the first is we should esteem and honor God. This can be a whole separate sermon, but I'll just mention a few things about honoring God. If you remember the Ten Commandments, the first four of them have to do with honoring God. Right? The 6 through 10 have to do with honoring our neighbor, our community. And number 5 is right in the middle, which is honoring our father and our mother. The first commandment, when you honor God, says you shall have no other God before me. So you honor him by keeping him as the one whom we worship and look to. The second is you shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. So no other God should be the director of your life, should be your master, besides the one true God. Number 3 is you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what is this he's saying? What do you mean take his name in vain? Yes, this is saying the name of God for just no reason casually. And this is very common nowadays. Why is this one the third commandment, and how does this dishonor God? Is because when we don't honor the name of God and we take it as something as casual and something, you know, easy, and perhaps we even, you know, curse with it, then how is it that something that meant to be holy will actually, we will listen to them, right? So as long as we can make something that's holy common, then it becomes nonchalant. If we turn this, you know, church into a place where we had dinner and receptions, then your honor for the place will change. Because now this is a place where I have memories of having parties and so on. But as long as we honor the place, then this place will be something that we revere. Number four is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So he said, remember the day that I've set aside for you to worship me so we can have a relationship together. So all of these have to do with our honoring God. So God is saying, what I expect you to honor me. And in the book of Malachi, the prophet or God rebukes the people because their lack of honor to him. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts? So he says, okay, if you call me a father and if you look to me to be your God, then where is my honor? So God is concerned for us to honor him and also concerned when we don't honor him. And the Lord Jesus echoed the same thing about himself. In John chapter 5, he says what? That all should honor the Son, speaking of himself, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So the Lord Jesus, as God, expects us to honor him, expects us to honor his place, the reverence of his body and blood. As I mentioned last week, when we go and we take communion during the time of the distribution of the mysteries, and we're talking and chatting with our friends about what we're doing and we're on our phones, this is showing dishonor. And this is something that is displeasing to the Lord Jesus, who expects us to honor him. This is God. Again, this could be a whole nother sermon. Perhaps we'll do this at another time. We're also called to honor our parents. As it says in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is given you. This is the fifth commandment, and it's also reaffirmed in St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. So it's a commandment that's fitting for both Old and New Testament and across time and cultures alike. According to the Jewish custom, and the Talmud, it says what? The Torah equates honoring parents with honoring God. So according to the teachings of the Jews originally, they said that honoring your parents is equal to honoring God. And look at the connection they make, as they say that parents are partners in creation with God. So all of us, we came to being through the work of God and our parents. So they're partners in creation. And this perspective tied both the human honor to the divine honor. And it shows us why God values honoring our parents so much. If we said our parents are our first love, they're also our first honor. And you'll find this is very consistent. To those who don't grow and learn how to honor their parents, they have problems honoring any other authority in their life. And this will be a stumbling block for them for the rest of their life. So when we teach our children how to honor God, how to honor them, how to honor the church, how to honor the servants and the clergy and so on, we teach them a good thing. The Lord Jesus rebuked the Pharisees while he was with them because they dishonored their parents. How so? He says in Matthew 15, he says, God commanded them saying, honor your father and mother. And there's also a commandment, and I believe in Leviticus, and the Lord says, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may receive from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. So what are they saying here? He says, as a son or daughter, I'm going to honor my parents by supporting them and giving them some assistance, perhaps financially or whatever. So what they were teaching in the temple was, whatever you are going to give your parents, if you give it to God, then you're absolved from this commandment of honoring your parents, because you give it to God, who's above your parents. See the logic? But he said this was evil, because at the end of the day, it served their purpose, but it broke the commandment of God that told them to honor your parents. So he rebuked them for not honoring their parents. And in the New Testament, and this is perhaps a verse that we get confused with the Ten Commandments, because in the Ten Commandments says, honor your father and mother. But St. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. So this is where he says that obedience to your parents is well-pleasing to the Lord. St. Paul uses the word children here. So he's speaking here about an immature child who's still young, who's still being nurtured and taught. But we don't expect this to be as an adult. It's the same. Yes, we still honor them, but to listen to them, again, let's be quite honest. All of us as parents, we have our faults. I'm being the first. We have our faults. I want one day for my children to look at my faults and say, okay, I want them to be able to filter. Okay, I don't want to take my faults of my father, but I want to take his positive qualities. The same with my mother, leave the negative qualities and take the positive qualities. So that every generation can get better than the one before. How do you think these saints were groomed back in the day? They took these qualities from their parents and their community. They learned from them. Because sometimes, as parents, we could, you know, pass on the negative qualities, but we want our children to understand that if you find something in me that is maybe as my weakness or my sin, don't copy this from me. But leave this, filter this. Your ultimate goal is to be Christ-like. That's who. Again, this is when they're more mature. When they're young, they do as we say. Also, we receive a special blessing when we honor our parents. As the commandment says in the Ten Commandments, it says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. What's the deal here? Again, according to the Talmud, and this is something from the Near East religions, they had a document that made inheriting one's property contingent upon how they honored and provided for their parents. So the inheritance of land and property that was given to their children, it was contingent on how they honored them. So it wasn't just given to them simply because they were their children. So it's as if here the Lord is saying that this is being now extended to everyone, to all the nations. Because he made it as a promise to those who honored their father and mother, that they will be have many days long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So he promised them. And in the Jewish custom, they looked at honoring our parents in two kind of categories. The first one was how we deal with them. So in obedience was a way of honoring. Not hitting or behaving disrespectfully to your parents is a way of honoring them. And misappropriating their properties, meaning kind of stealing from them. All of these were ways that we would honor our parents by not doing these things and obeying them. So to those who are children who we don't honor our parents and we hit them or say words to them that shouldn't be said, again, this is a sin that needs to be confessed with your father of confession. The second category of the things they looked at in terms of honoring their parents was providing for their physical needs, such as food, drink, clothing, and care. Of course, this is when they're older and they can't care for themselves. This is what he's speaking about here. And this is something I greatly appreciate about our culture in particular, is, you know, we don't like sending our parents to, like, nursing facilities and things like this, generally speaking, until they get to the point where we really can't care for them. But it's beautiful to see we have an obligation, and this is what the church teaches us. We have an obligation towards our parents to care for them and provide for them as long as we can, of course. In the New Testament era, our sustenance is not land and valuable things as it was in the Old Testament, and that's why the promise was there. But in the New Testament, the promise is the things of the kingdom. The things that money and wealth and possessions can't buy. One is the kingdom of heaven. So when we obey our parents on earth and we honor them, then this is, we receive a heavenly reward. And he also promises here on earth peace and joy, the things that, again, the world can't buy. The third people we ought to honor are the elderly, the elders. Look what the commandment is in Leviticus 19. He says, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man, and fear your God, I am the Lord. So he says, okay, when a gray man enters, you rise. And this is the proper etiquette that I was taught, or I observed when I was a child. Nowadays, you know, when somebody elder walks in and they come say hi, the kid sits down and the elder comes to them. This isn't proper. There's a lot of things that are going on now in this generation. There was this sense of heightened sense of dishonor. And this isn't good for them, nor is it good for us as a community and as, you know, a country. We need to come back to the days where people were honored. Okay? And we need to speak about it. We need to teach our children. When they do this, maybe when uncle comes in, you rise up and you greet him. When abuna comes, you go say hi to him. You don't just look at him or don't even look at him. And when your friend passes by you, you look at them and you greet them. You honor them. You don't just sit and do nothing. Respect for your elders, respect, reverence for God. Look what the Bible says here. When you rise in the presence of an old man, he says, and fear your God. So when I rise in the presence of an older man, I'm showing that I fear God. And then he says, I am the Lord. This is like his stamp. I said this, I mean it, it's important, and here's my stamp, I am the Lord. Respect the elders in their experience. Respect for their wisdom, for their labor, for you, perhaps, and for your community. And respect them for the repositories of history. I don't know about you, but like when I was growing up, I used to love sitting with older people who like World War I veterans and World War II veterans, ask them how things were. And to ask them about stories of how they were when they were growing up. And you can get a lot of wisdom from them. This is something that I think, you know, we need to look and value. Not too long ago, we did like a video about like the church's like beginning. And it's wonderful that we did this so that it can be kept in the record books. We got all the people, maybe in 20, 30 years, they won't be here anymore. But we have this repository to go back to and say, okay, how was it for the people who came and began this church? What did it look like? What did they sacrifice? Where did they pray before we had this church? And how was it coming from the motherland to here with no church and no community? Again, this is valuable for us. St. Anthony the Great says, if you see an elder who has endured many temptations and hardships, do not hasten to learn from him, for he has scars and wisdom of heaven. He has the scars and wisdom of heaven. And St. John Chrysostom, he says, to revere the aged is to honor the grace of God who has given them years and wisdom. We must honor the elders. The definition button of elders, I'll leave to you. Okay? I'm not an elder. See, I might be gray, but I'm not an elder. Authorities and leaders. In the book of Romans, St. Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. When he says be subject to the governing authorities, it means submit to them and be obedient to them. Sometimes we might feel, okay, well, there's some injustice that's going on. But is this an excuse to be disobedient? Because what happens when we are disobedient to the authorities because we think they're unjust, or maybe they are unjust, it only escalates the matter. And that's not what we're called to. We're supposed to be peacemakers, right? Did the Lord experience injustice? He was without sin. His whole trial and everything was all injustice. The saints who were martyred, was this just? Was it okay to kill somebody and millions of people because of what they believed? This is injustice. Injustice all throughout history. But it's never an excuse to break the commandments. We are called to honor the leaders and authorities both inside the church and also in society as well. Look what St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So we need to pray for our leaders, and we need to make intercession for them, give thanks to them. You know, this is our duty as citizens of a country and of a land. We're also required to be honorable to our superiors. Our superiors perhaps are those like, you know, our bosses, teachers, professors, those who have some kind of influence over our life, our servants, and so on. He says, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. What is the bond servant? Back in the day, of course, they had like slavery, and a servant was somebody who was like bought. But there came a point in the Jewish custom, every 7 years, that all of these slaves were set free. You couldn't keep them for life, right? But if somebody found that his master treated him very well and with honor, and most of them did, it wasn't cruel like maybe we see in the movies and things, most of them dealt with them well because they were the source of profit. Just like anybody would treat your workers in a company well because they're the ones that's going to feed the machine, so to speak. So these you treated them well. So if a servant found that his master treated him and his family well, he can choose to be bound to them, so he can't be anybody else's servant. That's what they call a bond servant. So it's a willful submission to somebody who I know is treating me well, or is a superior now. So the Lord is telling us here, when we submit to them and we honor them, it says, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. So when we dishonor our superiors, it's what? It's blaspheming the name and his doctrine. It's blaspheming his name and his doctrine. Even, my beloved, if they are sometimes harsh. Look what St. Peter tells us. He says, servants, be submissive to your masters in all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. There is a heavenly reward for this. When we're treated maybe harshly or unjustly, and we endure this and we are patient, perhaps they might see Christ in us and this might change their perspective. But even in the times where it's hard or it's harsh. And again, this is challenging. I'm not saying this is easy. This is a challenge. Also, we're called to honor widows. St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, honor widows who are really widows. The church is instructed to care for and respect the widows, especially those in need. Although many of the widows that we might think of are elders, but yet this is not always the case. You can have a widow who's a young widow. Thus, the commandment is more geared towards those who are vulnerable and weak. Of course, back in the day, women didn't have like a voice. They didn't work. They were sometimes considered as second-class citizens in different, you know, societies. So they didn't have the privileges that they do today. So they were completely dependent on their husbands for their sustenance. So when they became a widow, they became very vulnerable, especially if their father was not there or didn't have any male children. And this is what you find when the Lord raised the widow of Nain, that said he was the only son, and she was a widow. So now her husband was dead, and her son just died, so now she's extremely vulnerable and weak. So he goes to the coffin, has compassion on her, and raises her son. So this deals more with those who are vulnerable and weak. Honor them, sometimes without labeling them or others who are vulnerable and weak, as being a burden to society. And we can extend this to anybody who's weak or anybody who's vulnerable. Somebody with a special needs is somebody that needs our affection, care, and compassion. Not to make fun of them. Not to laugh at them or mock at them. No, this is again against the commandment and something that is dishonorable. Also, we are called to honor our spouses. St. Peter says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I'll dwell a minute about this idea of a weaker vessel. What does St. Paul here mean, weak and weaker vessel? Of course, he means here in a few things, but the first one is their physical, biological nature. They're physically, they're not as physically strong as men, so they are weaker. And especially at the time of the Lord Jesus, where a lot of the work was more of laborious work, and this was what put food on the table. So it depended more on one's strength than perhaps one's mind at the time, right? So Because a man is strong and he can endure longer and work harder, he can make more money to support his family. But a female counterpart wouldn't be able to do that because she can't labor physically as the man can. Husbands are reminded by St. Paul not to misuse their physical advantage to dominate or to show, but rather to show tenderness and care to their wife. He says, honor them as the weaker vessel. Instead of looking at them as weak and putting them down and perhaps abusing them, but no, honor them. Lift them up. Remember I said, honor is lifting somebody in high esteem. So we put them on a pedestal. Sometimes in our marital relationships, we feel like we're in a competition. Who is it that it's going to have the upper hand? So I put my wife down or I put my husband down for myself to have the upper hand. Also, as we mentioned before, women are more socially vulnerable because, again, of their place in work. They didn't really work and so on. Some of the church fathers also looked at this and commented and said that the women are more emotionally and spiritually sensitive. And this, again, not a weakness that's something bad, but this is simply something by nature. It's not a flaw, but was seen as requiring nurturing rather than harshness. So being this is their nature, it requires us to deal with them with gentleness and care, not in harshness, as perhaps we'll do with a co-worker or a friend, a male friend. They taught that husbands should cherish their wives' gentle nature and not despise them for it as a complement to a husband's role. So the fathers taught that this gentleness is something that's needed in the marital relationship and in the family. So why the women excel at nurturing and caring for children? It's quite amazing. Men might be stronger physically, but you find a woman's commitment to her children is far greater than a man. We will lose our temper and our maybe tolerance to some things maybe our children do, while they are much more patient and willing to sacrifice themselves to nurture their children. So both are needed. So how is it that we can honor our husband and our wife? For the wife, we know her needs, emotional, and we try to strengthen them. The marriage requires both empathy and patience. We need to try to esteem each other, to build each other up. Treat each other as equal partners in the relationship, not as one domineering over the other. And then St. Paul puts the asterisk. Because if we don't do this, what does he say? He says, that your prayers may not be hindered. So when I dishonor my spouse, my prayers to God will be hindered. So what good does it do me if I dishonor my spouse and I come, I put a right paper on the altar and I put it here. And I come here and I stand and pray. So what I might say is a small prayer will be heard speedily. But it might take me forever to cry because my prayer is hindered because of what I'm doing at home. Lastly, we are called to honor all people. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Christians are called to honor everyone as part of living a holy and godly and Christian life. And in doing so, we fulfill God's commandment and reflect His love and maintain order and harmony in the society. So when we love everyone, we show everyone Christ's love. Because this is what He did. When He went and He performed miracles and He went and had compassion on people, He met with everyone who was vulnerable, from the sinner to the disabled, to the weak, to the outcast, everyone, right? He honored everyone. He washed the disciples' feet. This was something that ought to be done by a servant. But He honored them and washed their feet as one who was coming to serve them. There's a story about Abu Nabshoy Kamil when he used to go and visit those people who were in the poor, I mean people in the hospital when they were sick. One of his disciples was going with him. And before he went into the patient's room, he took off his shoes and he went in and he spoke with them, prayed for them, and came out. And the disciple said, "Abuna, why are you taking off your shoes? You know, the hospital isn't the cleanest of places." Right? And he says, "No, because the Lord said, when I'm sick and you visit me, when you visit the sick, it's like you visited me." So he looked at this patient's room, this sick person's room, as a sanctuary where God dwells, like the altar. So before entering this, he took off his shoes, right? Because he honored them for who they are. He didn't see them as just some random sick person, but he saw them as Christ. This is our challenge. Can we see Christ in everyone? Can we see Christ in everyone? For the sake of time, we'll stop here, and we'll pick up next time speaking about the value of honoring others. How is it, or what is the value when we honor others? To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.